You're about to hear some things that can revolutionize your personal study of the Word of God.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's one place we can go to get our heads clear. One place we can go to get the story straight. One place we can go to separate spirit from soul, mind from emotions, truth from error. It's the Word of God. My guest today is going to give us some fascinating insights and tell us about some wonderful software that'll help you and me dig deeper into God's Word. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. If you got a question for my guest, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I'm going to be giving you a special number through the broadcast to find out more about this Bible software. So stay tuned. We'll be talking about that a little later. Now, yesterday we had wonderful 2 hours worth of conversations about race, religion, and politics. There was one caller who made accusations against black Americans, whom I immediately cut off. That talk is not going to be on this radio station, on this program. Every other caller from every side of the issue, respectful. We had wonderful dialogue both ways. And we're not going to be doing that in this first hour. However, I know that through the day, through the 2 hours, the phone lines were filled, which means many of you tried to get through and were unable. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep the conversation going in the second hour. So what you do is this. If you want to continue the discussion about race, religion, and politics, and you can do so in this next hour, not this current hour, but the next hour, then call in a little later in the broadcast today. Call in a half hour, 45 minutes from now, and we'll put you on hold. And when we start the next hour, you will be at the top of the list to get in the discussion. Fair enough? So the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A few months back, we entered into a partnership with Logos Bible Software. I've been using Logos for years, and we entered into a ministry partnership with them because I believe in the program so much and want to help get it out to as many people as possible. And we've had a special arrangement with Logos that any orders that come through a special website we have or with a special code to them, 15% of all sales are donated back to our ministry. And then you can receive a special 15% discount on all entry-level packages. And I've heard from different friends of mine that took advantage of it. They've been absolutely thrilled with the software. I've since been able to upgrade to the Platinum Library. And Scott Lindsay, who's going to be joining us shortly, is an expert in the software. He is the director of ministry relations with Logos, and he's done presentations for hundreds of churches and ministries, TV ministries, well-known radio ministries, folks that you listen to all the time, and they use the software. It's enriching their lives. And it dawned on me, we didn't plan it like this because I'm not like a big holiday kind of guy, and Hanukkah, Christmas are coming, and you got to get ready for presents and things like that. But what a perfect thing to do with the holidays coming. And I was in Fort Myers, Florida this past weekend. I'm coming your way live from Chicago this day, and I'll be in Chicago and Milwaukee through the week, coming your way live through the week. And I was laying in bed with my laptop computer on my lap after ministering a full day and just doing some research with my Logos software here. I'm away from home. I'm away from my thousands and thousands of books in this massive library. But in my computer, I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of books. And I just typed in a Greek word I wanted to study. And bing, within I don't know, half a second, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of references and resources to dig and to study. It's amazing. So join me as we're going to explore ways to study the Word, get some great insights, and find out more about the launch of Logos 5. All right.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. If you want to ask about studying the Word with Bible software, questions like that, my guest Scott Lindsay is an expert, and he's trained many churches, ministries, leaders into how to use the most powerful Bible software on the planet today. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah, we've been thrilled with reports of folks who've gotten their Bible study libraries from Logos and digging in deeper. And I'm just amazed when I was able to upgrade to the Platinum Library, I was shocked to see what was actually in it and what was there just at my fingertips. So how many books now total are in your software?
Logos, a couple months ago, we hit the 30,000 bookmark. So we have 30,000 titles in our format. So for your listeners, whatever interests them, whether it be original languages, antiquity, archaeology, apologetics, I mean, we have thousands of books in just about any genre of studying that you can think of.
And they're all linked and indexed, right? So if I'm in one book, say a commentary, and it makes reference to some dictionary of archaeology that's in my library, and I just click on it, boom, there it is. And if there's a scripture reference that I just hover over that, and boom, it's all linked together.
Right. And you know, when I'm traveling, that's one of the points I'm trying to make, because there's many options today to buy digital books. You've got Kindle and Barnes and Noble and Amazon, so on. But I tell people, for the same price, if not less, when you buy a book at Logos, it not only allows you to read a book, but it also ties into a bigger digital library, so that when I do a search on a particular topic or verse or something that interests me, Logos talks to all my books. And so that's a huge advantage to Logos, is that we're always thinking, you know, the center point being the Bible, and then talking to the rest of your books on a topic or a scripture reference.
Yeah, and again, just the ease of it. I love to study and go deeper. So one book leads me to another book, leads me to another book. And I've got books in my home library. I've got books in two different offices at my office. Then I've got a pallet and a half of books in storage that I haven't been able to get to in years. But here, everything is literally one click away, or just slide the cursor over. And as deep as you want to dig, you can. So before we talk about what's happened with Logos 5, just some amazing new things that are in the program, let's just say you've got a pastor out there. You've got someone, they're doing a Sunday school class, or they're just in their personal Bible study. They want to dig deeper. And they just type in, maybe they want to find out what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, in Philippians 4:13. So what happens if they plug that in into the search bar, plug in Philippians 4:13 in their library? What are they going to see? What are their options? What about study guides for the passage? What comes up for them?
Yeah, so obviously on radio it's a little hard for people to see, but here I am sitting at my desk in Bellingham, Washington, and I just typed in Philippians 4:3, and I just clicked one button. It's the go button. So when I present at conferences, I tell people this is the user's manual. All you need to know to use Logos Bible software is to either type a topic, so tabernacle, baptism, marriage, whatever topic you want to know, what does the Bible say about, or a verse. Or a range of verses, so Romans 8, Psalms 23, or as you mentioned, Philippians 4:13. So I just typed in Philippians 4:13 and clicked go, and instantly Logos just read hundreds upon hundreds of books for me in seconds and brings me back this report. So here I am looking at the screen, and over on the left is my research report. So Logos brings me back commentaries that have insight into that passage, cross-references. A new feature in Logos 5, and we're going to cover more of 5 here in a second, we now have outlines. So I get to see a whole outline of Philippians. Then we bring you to if there's a name or a person or a thing mentioned in the text, we'll pull that out as well. It'll bring me songs that relate to the passage. So I actually get to listen to hymns and read lyrics of songs that relate to Philippians 4:13. And then it also did a topical analysis. So Logos finds the key topics, so the words supply or ability or sufficiency, those are key topics in the verse. It pulled those out for me and brings me to Bible Dictionary articles on those key topics. Then illustrations. So for a pastor, you know, it's great to get a biblical understanding from dictionaries and such, but sometimes I need an anecdote, I need a story, I need something to really drive home this sermon on Philippians 4:13. So Logos finds illustrations based on the text. So I don't have to go out to Google and try to find some current relevant story that helps me really drive home what I'm teaching in this passage. Logos brings that to you as well. And then the list goes on, but I think the listeners get an idea that literally I just did maybe 30, 40 hours worth of research in seconds. Logos brings me back all this information on any verse I want to study.
And, you know, there's also the issue of graphics and things like that. We're studying Scripture. I'm looking at my home screen now, and there is a diagram of Herod's Second Temple on the Temple Mount. And it's broken down and, you know, details, the overview of what it looks like and so on. Well, you can dig in deeper. Let's say you want to see what this thing actually looked like. Jesus went to the temple and he was teaching there, and it talks about different aspects of it. Or Ephesians 2 talks about a dividing wall that's now been brought down between Jew and Gentile. And I want to find out how far can I go in terms of illustrations, graphics that actually show me what these things look like?
Well, see, that's probably the most exciting thing for me. So I actually presented Logos 5 for the very first time this Saturday, and it was a bit of an intimidating group because on the front row was Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Norm Geisler, Josh McDowell. So I don't typically get nervous, but when you have these guys kind of looking at what is Scott going to do there with that Logos? And I, honestly, it was one of the feedbacks when I got done with my presentation and was talking with these men was the graphic, the illustrations. We're bringing the Bible to life in a visual way. And I like to challenge people because we live in a very very visual culture today. And sadly, so much of what I see with regards to teaching the Bible, whether it be small groups or homeschooling or pastoring, is what I consider 2D teaching, and yet we live in a 3D culture. And I try to challenge people that if you really want to take your Bible study to the next level or really add that next dimension in your teaching, you got to visualize your text. So in the presentation I did Saturday, we kind of looked at Herod's temple, and I was able to compare it to Solomon's, and I mean, we got to see what they look like. And then wow. Logos does very creative things that here I had Herod's up on the screen, but right next to it, Logos puts an American football field. So that
really?
I can get perspective. Yeah, I knew it was big, but I didn't realize how big it was until I had an American football field sitting right next to it. And then I realized, wow, this thing was about 3.5 times the size of an American football field. So little things like that are going to really drive the point home. They're going to help people studying the Bible to see it in a fresh new light. And so the visual tools in Logos are amazing.
Yeah, I'm just looking now at infographics. Is that the official term for them?
Yeah, infographics. Exactly right.
Excellent. Tremendous. And real quick, we'll come back to this after the break, but one of the neatest new features with Logos 5 is the timeline. Let's just start to discover what that is, because a lot of people read the word, they don't know who came when or where, and this is another one of those infographics that's invaluable.
Yeah, so timeline is a brand new feature to Logos 5, and this took us about 4 years to develop. I mean, we're 325 people now in the company dedicated to making people's Bible study better, and we literally had a group in the company that spent 4 years putting together this timeline. But what we did is we took over 8,000 events and put them on a single timeline. So these are major events in biblical history, church history, world history. So I can actually filter just on biblical history, and I get to see the patriarchal periods, and I mean, I can filter in on any major biblical period and see everybody that was involved in that time. But what's nice about the timeline is it's interactive. So not only do I get to see the life of Jacob in a timeline, but if I click on the bar that represents his time period, it links me right into the articles into my Logos library about Jacob. So it's not just a timeline that I get to look at and see, you know, when major people groups were together and key figures in biblical history, but I get to click on any point in the timeline, and it actually brings me to information on that person or time period. So this is the first of its kind. I've seen timelines before in books and in other software, but there's never been a timeline that you got that you get to interact with. And another key point in the timeline is now,
we'll come back to that. Got a break here. But again, folks, we come back, I'll tell you how you can order this, tell you how you can get a 15% discount on all entry-level packages. And again, might as well bless someone with the holidays coming up with something that'll last a lifetime.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, just a quick programming note. If you want to get into the conversation that we were having yesterday on race, religion, and politics, you can call into the program, 866-34-TRUTH, but I won't be getting into that discussion until the new hour, okay? So 3 o'clock Eastern Standard, and wherever you are, you can compute the difference. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation and be one of the first callers, because many were unable to get through yesterday, then give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. And when you do, then we'll put you online. You'll be on hold. You can listen to the broadcast. And then when we get into the new hour, you'll be among the first that can get in on the conversation. All right. Also, to order Logos Bible software and to get your 15% discount on all base packages and whatever you purchase, any individual books, anything at all, 15% will be donated to Line of Fire, will be donated to our ministry, will help us reach more and more people through the radio broadcast, will help us raise up missionaries and send them out to the ends of the earth, will help us in our ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you'll be blessed and we'll be blessed. To order the software, call this number, 1-800-875-6467. That's 1-800-875-6467, and use the code LINEOFIRE5. As Logos 5 is now launched, Line of Fire 5. Or you can go online. Go to logos.com/Line of Fire Radio. One word, logos.com/Line of Fire Radio. And if any of that confused you, just go to the normal place, askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore, and there's more information there. Explore the base packages. That's where you want to start. Scott Lindsay, Director of Ministry Relations with Logos, is joining us for this entire hour. Scott, you were mentioning one other really neat feature about the timeline. We ran out of time before the break, so back to the timeline.
Yeah, so not only can I go straight to the timeline, and again, so I'm actually in it right now on the software. So you just jump right into timeline. You can filter based on biblical eras. So I see here the Exodus period, the conquest of Canaan, Judges, United Kingdom, so on. We have church eras, historical eras. So you can go right to the timeline and look at it that way. Or it will also link to your books. And so what I mean by that is one of the books that I've been going through in Logos is a great book called 131 Christians Everyone Should Know. So it's kind of a historical book.
I just discovered that, by the way. I didn't know that it was on my software, and I discovered it, put it on my phone to read, and opened up to William Booth, one of the activists, and I was stirred. So I didn't even know I had that in my library. I just discovered it, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great book because it gives maybe a 4 or 5 biographical sketch of key people in church history. So I'm actually right now in the chapter on Martin Luther, and I'm reading a sentence right now that says that in 1505, his life took a dramatic turn. Well, now, anytime there's a date in any book in your Logos, there'll be a little flag next to it. So there's a flag right next to 1505. When I click it, it brings me right to the timeline so that I'm able to see what else is going on. And so I'm looking now at the timeline at 1505, And I'm finding out that in 1506, Christopher Columbus died. All world history is now right here in conjunction with this point of time with regards to Martin Luther. So I'm getting to see figures in history that I didn't know were close to each other. I didn't know Christopher Columbus and Martin Luther were around at the same time. So again, these little things inside the software are just amazing.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and because we kind of put them in different categories in different parts of the world, we forget that they were basically contemporaries. And when you start doing that with biblical data and things happening in the ancient world, it is amazing. You know, because biblical studies have been a field of academic work for me and teaching at seminary level and things like that, I'm aware of the fact that it's impossible to keep up with all the literature, it's impossible to keep up with all the research. And actually, you can waste a lot of time on tangents and getting into stuff you really don't need to, that instead of getting you into the Word, take you away from the Word. But this is a way to have kind of a circle that constantly gets you back where you need to be. And I just typed in now a phrase, and we'll have time to develop this later in the broadcast, but you can now type in a phrase. I put in quotes the words "dead to sin." Type that in, and I got 523 results in 390 articles and 197 resources in less than 8 seconds. It's on my laptop, which is a little slower. So if you can imagine this being done. So you can actually now look for phrases and concepts instead of just individual words.
Yeah, and actually, one of the key new features, if you were to ask me what is probably one of the most amazing new features to Logos 5, it's a thing that we've brought to the table called clause searching, which was actually impossible until this released last week. So for your listeners, this just came out. So in 20 years as a company, we've only had 5 major releases. This is number 5, so this is very significant. And the clause search is something that I think will have a profound impact with people doing research and Bible study, because what a clause search does is, imagine if your listeners wanted to find all the verses where Jesus and Jerusalem were in the verse. Well, any concordance can handle that. You look up the word Jesus, then you look up the word Jerusalem, and there's your verses. But then when you start thinking about it, you're like, well, wait, sometimes Jesus is called Christ, Messiah, Savior, Son of God. So, I mean, he's got a lot of names outside of the name Jesus. And then Jerusalem could be called the city. So then you have to think about that and search for all those in your concordance. And so you could come up with 2,000-3,000 verses that now you have to go through and find if it really is a verse that is Jesus in Jerusalem. Well, with the clause search now, I literally just went into this new feature in Logos and did person Jesus place Jerusalem, hit enter, and Logos found the 52 clauses in Scripture where this happened. So the very first hit for me was Matthew 4:5, and this is what the verse says. Then the devil took him. Who's him? Him is Jesus. So Logos recognized the pronoun him represents Jesus. It said it took him to the holy city. Now, what's the holy city? Jerusalem is the holy city. So this is something that was literally impossible until this release last week. I now have the 52 verses. I don't have to search for all the other variations of anything. I'm done with this simple feature in Logos.
Tremendous. And by the way, I was aware of some of that, but I was not aware of that in full. That's amazing. Friends, take advantage of the special offer, 15% off on all base packages, and then whatever you order, 15% of your order is donated by Logos to Line of Fire to help us move forward in our ministry. Call this number to order, 1-800-875-6467. Get something for yourselves. Get something for your pastor leaders. Get family gifts for the holidays. 1-800-875-6467. And use the code LINEOFFIRE5. You need to tell that to the operator to get your discount. Or you can go online, logos.com/LINEOFFIRE radio. One word, LINEOFFIRE radio. Logos.com. That's logos.com/LINEOFFIRE radio.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a Bible software question for my guest, Scott Lindsay, Director of Ministry Relations at Logos. And we have partnered together with Logos. There's no software like this. 30,000 books now in the potential library of what you can get. And whatever books you have, as Scott has pointed out, they talk to each other. And everything is interactive. So if you're studying one verse and it links you to something else, or it links you to a Greek word and you click on that, it'll link you to the dictionaries that you have. In a moment of time, you can dig deep, and then you can cut and paste. If you're writing or posting things, you could cut and paste. In moments of time, you could do hours and hours of work, which to me means that in hours and hours, you could do days and months of serious study, life-changing study of Scripture. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, if you wanted to get in the discussion from yesterday on race, religion, and politics, we'll be carrying on with that in the second hour. But you can call in, stay on hold, and then we will talk to you a half hour from now. Scott, what happens if someone is a user of Logos? They've got a Bible study package already. Now Logos 5 has come out. What happens to the current users?
So there's two options. We reconfigure. So every 4 or 5 years when we sit down and, you know, we release a major new release, we also reconfigure the libraries, because when we sat down at the table 4 years ago and released Logos 4, I think we only had about 12,000 books to choose from. So this time the table was much longer, so to speak, and we were able to really put some amazing resources and books in each library. So if somebody, let's say, purchased Logos last year and is very interested in 5, there's two options. One, they can upgrade to the new flavor, if you will, of their library, which would add numerous new titles. Or probably by the end of the week, we'll have something called a minimal crossgrade. And what that is all the new features of Logos 5, so this timeline we've talked about, clause searching, and so on, but it doesn't add any new books. So it's just the features, the new look and feel. So that those are kind of the two options. They can either go to the new library, which, again, would add sometimes hundreds of new resources, or they can just add the new feature set to Logos 5. So there's kind of two options for them in order to jump over to Logos 5.
Tremendous. And which ministries are using this actively? Who do you hear from that has endorsed the software?
Well, I mean, in last week alone, so I had a whirlwind of a week because everybody's heard about Logos 5 and my cell phone is ringing nonstop. Hey, Scott, come out and show us all these new tools. But I was at Redeemer with Pastor Tim Keller and the staff in Manhattan. And then I jumped on. Oh, I actually met with Eric Metaxas as well, the Bonhoeffer author.
Yes,
then flew out to L.A. and did this conference with Dr. Erwin Lutzer and Norm Geisler and Josh McDowell, all three of which use Logos. I spent some time with Greg Laurie at Harvest. So cross-denominationally, every major ministry, I really don't know of a major ministry that has not endorsed Logos, that doesn't use Logos personally, that their staff doesn't use Logos. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing who's using it now. That we have 1.5 million users now worldwide.
Wow, incredible. Listen, I deeply appreciate the work of your team. There are 325 people now, and some of them just dedicated to working on software, programming day and night, and others making it more friendly and usable for pastors, teachers, leaders. We come back. I want to do a little sample study. We're preparing to preach or minister. We're going to dig in and use all the power of this software and then tell you how you can enter in, where you can dive in yourself.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast with my special guest, Scott Lindsay of Logos Bible Software. We had Scott on a few months back, but with the launch of Logos 5, we wanted to bring him back on. And it's just perfect timing because a lot of people think about holiday gifts and stuff like that, and we can waste a lot of money. We can buy things that are going to be here today and gone tomorrow, or used, but as a waste of time. This is a great way to bless family members, co-workers, pastors, leaders with software that is so easily usable and so accessible that they'll be thanking you for years to come. And Scott, I just did something during the break out of curiosity. I typed in the word abortion just as an issue of contemporary significance, and it gave me the option. It said, do you want to look for abortion or infanticide? So I said yes. I then got, in my Platinum library, it took 0.38 seconds, so less than half a second, it pulled up for me 3,614 results and 715 articles and 587 resources. Now, that may overwhelm someone, but I'm just looking at this, and there are references to a book, Heresy in the Early Church, now references to the works of Francis Schaeffer, references to biblical answers to contemporary issues, scholarly work, the Encyclopedia of Christianity, and on and on. And when I just click on these, it'll take me right to the page in the next half of my screen to look at. Now, commentaries, different commentaries that make reference to this. I could dig as deep as I want to dig for as long as I want to go, and here it is right in front of me. How contemporary is the software, Scott? How much is it tied into contemporary issues as we're doing our Bible study?
Yeah, so let me address that in a second, but I don't want the listeners to get scared when you say, hey, you know, it found 3,000 articles and 3,000 articles.
That stuff impresses me. I understand.
Right. So, but what I want to point out is we actually, if I'm looking, I just did the same thing you did. I typed in the word abortion and click go. There's an option called ranked. So if you look up there on the screen, ranked means that we went through and actually tried to find the most pertinent articles. So the ones that are most relevant on that topic, that have the most information about that topic, are at the top of the list.
Right.
So that's very valuable, because what happens if you type in a word like resurrection in your library? Well, obviously in a biblical library, you're going to have thousands upon thousands of articles that might have reference to the resurrection. But what I really want are articles that are particular to the subject of resurrection. When did a scholar sit down and write something specifically about resurrection? That means more to me than if an author mentioned resurrection in a book. Does that make sense? So what Logos does is we take the most relevant articles on your topic and put them at the very top. So there's no need to worry when Logos comes back and says, hey, I found 200 articles. I'm confident in knowing that the best articles, so to speak, are at the top of the list. Now, to address the issue of contemporary, remember that we have 30,000 books in our format. So we have very old titles. I think some of the best things ever written with regards to Bible study and theology were written many, many, many years ago. And yet, I do need contemporary things. So let's say that some of your listeners are, let's say, Christian counselors. Well, having current issues, current books that deal with specific things such as depression, anxiety, from a biblical standpoint, and yet use statistical information from the medical field, I need current information on that. And so we have titles for that as well. So what happens is your listeners buy a base package, and then they start adding the titles that they need for whatever field of study they're most interested in, whether it be biblical counseling, whether it be pastoring, whether it be church planning, church history, whatever is your field of interest, you build your library accordingly.
Right. So wherever the person is, whatever their level is, this can kind of meet them there and help take them deeper. Now, there are different starter packages. And again, friends, if you're listening, this is a special arrangement that we have with Logos where you can get a 15% discount on any starter packages. And even the most basic starter packages have 150 or 200 resources. So someone wants to get started. They're going to get a package which is going to have a bunch of basic Bible study books and reference books and dictionaries and things like that to help them get deeper into the Word at the click of a mouse. Give me an idea of the range of what they can get into. And again, friends, you get a 15% discount on the starter package, and 15% of any sale that's made, as long as you use our code or go through the website, they'll donate back to us. So this is super generous on their part. That's why we're promoting it on the air, because it's wonderful, it's enriching, it's life-changing, it's the Word, and you're helping us move forward with our work, and you're getting a discount as well. So, Scott, just give me an overview of some of the most popular packages, from the most basic down to the fullest they could possibly get.
Well, the starter package, our lowest level, is called that. It's called the Starter Library. And again, even just calling it Starter Library, it has hundreds of resources in it. So what you're purchasing with Logos is not only these great features that help you dig in, but you're literally buying a massive theological library. So most of your Bible translations, dictionaries, commentaries, maps, charts, and so on. But again, Starter has over 200 resources. If one of your listeners was to buy all the resources just in our Starter Library, they're at about $3,500 worth of books. So I mean is, go to your Christian bookstore, say, I want everything in that Logo Starter Library, and you're going to spend over $3,500. And yet, Starter is a couple hundred dollars. So that's the real value in going digital with your Bible study. Now, our number one seller is the one that's just above that, called the Bronze Library. And the reason being is the Bronze Library is the first library that gives you the tools to start doing Greek and Hebrew word studies. So I'm actually using the Bronze right now as we're on the radio, and I'm in John chapter 4, and I come to the verse 24 where Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Well, if you have Bronze or higher, I can float my cursor on the word truth, and instantly in the right-hand corner, Logos just did all my Greek word study lookups. So I see what the word is in the Greek. I now am able to go to a Greek lexicon, which very insightfully tells me that the word truth in this verse really means hiding nothing. And that's amazing, because I've read this passage hundreds of times, and I didn't really know what it is to worship God in truth. So being able to go to a Greek lexicon now explain to me that the word truth in this passage means not to hide. So when we worship God in truth, in essence, it means don't hide from God. And that adds a whole new meaning to this passage. So one of my passions when I present at a conference is I'm trying to show people the value of doing Greek and Hebrew word studies. And so that's what Bronze and all the other higher collections in Bronze allow you to do. It'll even pronounce the Greek word for you. So if you're not, you know, Greek is new to you and, you know, it's Greek to me, you just float your cursor and there's a little speaker icon. Press it and it'll actually pronounce the Greek word for you. So these are the types of tools we provide for even the layperson that is saying, you know, thinking right now, oh, I could never study Greek or Hebrew. You can, because of the tools that we provide in Logos.
Yeah, and these tools, friends, are reliable tools. In other words, they're standard scholarly dictionaries and standard popular dictionaries, and whatever level you're at, there is the information. So it's not just that someone looked it up on internet and thought this is what it says. I mean, Scott, I deal with this stuff day and night. The Hebrew says this, the Greek says this, and it's just off the wall. But here, I mean, this is my field, especially with Hebrew Bible and the related languages, and of course work with Greek all the time. So I'm looking at this stuff, and there it is. There's the information. There are the best studies on it. And you know,
I love,
Yeah, go ahead.
I love presenting with when I have somebody in the room, you know, that has studied the Bible as long as you have and have the degrees and have, you know, blood, sweat, and tears over papers and things, because they look at me almost with this look like, that's cheating.
Uh-huh.
Like, how in the world, Scott, did you do that fast? Because with my paper books, that takes me about 10 minutes to really dig in and find out what that word is. And Scott, in seconds, you're doing what would take me with a doctorate 10 minutes to do.
Yeah, 10 minutes, or to go deeper, 10 hours. And, of course, the neatest thing for me is I get to do this when I'm flying in a plane. I mean, I have trips back and forth to India and Israel in recent months, and I'm up there 35,000 feet with this library of thousands of books, bing, at the tip of my finger. All right, we'll be back. A few more minutes with Scott.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, we just got a few minutes more with Scott Lindsay from Logos Bible Software, Director of Ministry Relations there. To order your own software, call this number, 1-800-875-6467. If you've looked at it, if you know what you want to get, 1-800-875-6467, and use the code LINEOFFIRE5. LINEOFFIRE5. When you give that number, that code to the operators, you'll get 15% discount on all starter packages. So you get any Bible study library, you'll get that discount. And then any other purchase you make, any individual books, other things that you get to supplement your library, we still get 15% sent by Logos to us. So use that code either way. If you need to dig into this more, by all means, go to the website, find out what's going on. Here's how you get there. Go to AskDrBrown.org, go to my website, and just click on the online bookstore. And you'll see right there, we've got info on how to order through Logos. Click on the link, and you'll be there. So if it makes it easier, you don't have to take down another website, AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore right on the homepage. You can't miss it. And that'll take you to the link to find out more about the Logos software. So just got a couple more minutes with Scott. You know, I just started using the software intuitively many years ago, and I didn't even realize how many new features were in it. And part of what made me realize was when I had you on the air with me last time and you were referencing things, I was saying to myself, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. So I since went on and started to look at some of the videos and found out more of the things that were there. But Scott, I'm looking right now on my tools library, and under Bible reference, there's Bible facts and Bible sense lexicon, along with the timeline. What are these things, Bible facts and Bible sense lexicon? Because this is some of the most user-friendly stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah, so Bible facts actually allows you to go in. What we do is we've kind of put together features called biblical people, places, and things, and now facts. So I am able to go into the little box up there, and if I type in, let's say, the word ark, well, Logos says, well, wait a second, Scott, did you want Noah's Ark? Did you want Ark of the Covenant? So it really breaks down that entire term for me. And if I click Noah's Ark, I'm now looking at all the key verses for Noah's Ark. I've got my Bible dictionary articles for Noah's Ark. I've got pictures. I'm looking at this the most gorgeous picture of Noah's Ark. These are those new infographics we created. And up in the right-hand corner, it's telling me that the capacity of Noah's Ark was the equivalent of 500 railroad stock cars, and it could hold more than 125,000 animals. So giving you insight into the sheer vast size of that. And then also a new feature at the very bottom of this window I'm looking at, we now link you to other web resources. So I'm able right now to click on a link and go to the Base Institute's website and see where they've done archaeological searches and so on for Noah's Ark. So I'm able to watch video that relate to the subject that I'm studying. Now, the sense lexicon is another new feature in 5, where, as you know, especially with your study and expertise of the Old Testament, that sometimes, let's say a word, the word hand, Sometimes the word hand in the Old Testament actually is a word of power. It's not necessarily referring to the thing at the end of your arm with five fingers. It actually means power. So in this new sense lexicon, we take words and all their broad-reaching meanings and put them together. So I'm able to see in the Old Testament when the word hand, again, doesn't mean the thing at the end of your arm, but really means power. And so we link it to that word power and show you how it's used. Again, something that was literally impossible to do until last week when Logos 5 released.
You know, Scott, I'm actually going to go back and replay some of the other earlier parts of the conversation where you were filling me in on tools and how to do things beyond what I knew. And for those that are just getting started, you have online videos as well. They're tutorials, and you've got expert teachers that take you through all kinds of different aspects. So you don't just leave people out there to figure out how to do it. You've got an extensive help base right there for the newest user.
And actually, Google just rated 20,000 companies in the U.S. and picked Logos as a top 10 in the country for customer service. So we stand behind this resource. We want people doing better Bible study, and so we'll do whatever it takes to make sure you're using this resource, that you're satisfied with this resource, because bottom line, our goal and passion is to get people closer to the Lord in His Word.
Yeah, Scott, you're doing a tremendous job. That's amazing to hear about the Google rating. I hadn't heard that. Mind-boggling. Keep up the great work. Thanks for enlightening all of us, and thanks for calling us all deeper into the Word of God with such excellence. Deeply appreciate it, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. You know, friends, I'm not going to have some infomercial here where we spend an hour trying to sell you some gimmick or some gadget. But if I can help you dig into the Word more, if I can help you do it in a way that's economical, and on top of it, get you a discount in doing it, and then on top of that, have funds go right back to our ministry. If you got a package that was normally $345, say, and you got it instead for $300 because you got a 15% discount, then on top of that, they're sending us $45 out of that to help with our ministry, and then you're getting maybe $3,500 of books in the process, and now you're getting more excited about getting into the Word. You're getting more excited about Bible study and things like that. Hey, to me, it's win-win across the board. So that's why we take the time to do it on the air. Nothing hidden, forthright. That's why we do it. And I pray that you'll be enriched. Those who have the software, I'm constantly saying to myself, there's more. Wow, I didn't know that was in there. This was in there. These books, these resources. So take advantage of this. Again, if you know what you want to get, bless your pastors, your leaders, get them some of the software. Do it for family members that want to dig deeper. Holidays coming up, what a great time to do it. And the number to call, if you know what you're looking for, 1-800-875-6467. That's 1-800-875-6467. But you've got to give the coupon code LINEOFFIRE5. Again, any Bible study package that you buy, you'll get a 15% discount on that. But any books you get, anything you're interested in just to get individually, which you can still do, we'll still get 15% sent to us. Best thing to do, though, is go online first, find out more what's available. And the easiest way to do that, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and then click on the online bookstore, and you'll see special offer with Logos, and you read that, click on that, it'll take you to their site. You can read endorsements, you can find out what's in the different packages and be enriched in the process. Okay, friends, I wrote an open letter to my black evangelical friends. It's posted on townhall.com, and it's posted on charismanews.com in the opinion column. It was for the purpose of interaction. It was to advance understanding. Please go there as you have opportunity, either townhall.com or charismanews.com, and click on opinion, and you'll be able to read more and interact. And in this next hour, we're going to continue the discussion that we started yesterday. If you'd like to get in the conversation about race, religion, and politics, call 1-800. No, don't call that. Call 866-34-TRUTH. My bottom line today, God's Word, God's wonderful, rich, deep, infinitely powerful Word is beckoning to you and me, inviting us, dig in, study. study more, apply. Today on The Line of Fire, we're going to continue our discussion on race, religion, and politics.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we had a wonderful discussion yesterday. Our phone lines rang off the hook for 2 hours, which meant many of you who tried to get through were unable. Many did get through, but we were not able to get to your calls. And I appreciate the civil tone with which we could agree, disagree, challenge each other, ask each other honest questions as fellow followers of Jesus. And I wanted to give a little more time, because so many were unable to get through yesterday, to continue the conversation on race, religion, and politics. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. And I got some very interesting communication on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook as well. Some wholeheartedly agreeing with things I was saying, some disagreeing with what I was saying, but my goal, again, was interaction. My goal, again, was not to put forward my position, but to say, here's how I see things. Show me where I have blind spots. Maybe you have blind spots. Let's talk one to another. Again, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones very quickly today, but I want to share a response with you that concerns me, okay? I wrote an open letter to my black evangelical friends. I had this on my heart to do. I arrived in Chicago last night and spent some time writing this prayerfully. And here's how I started the article. I'm not writing this letter to accuse, but rather to advance understanding. And even though I'm white, I'm not writing as an outsider, but as a fellow evangelical, part of the same spiritual family. May I pose some candid questions? Are you guilty on any level of blind allegiance to the Democratic Party? And on election day, did any of you compromise your convictions out of racial solidarity? I've been very open in my criticism of white evangelicals, pointing out how we often put our trust in the Republican Party and how we look to the latest candidate as some kind of political savior, only to be disappointed time and time again, complaining that the Republicans wanted our votes but did not stand up for our values. We won't get fooled again, we say, only to repeat the same cycle 4 years later. On election day morning, I posted an article entitled A Warning to Moral Conservatives, raising concerns that if Mitt Romney was elected, we'd be making a grave mistake in looking to him to advance our moral and social agenda. I even wrote an article in June entitled Mitt Romney is Not the Answer, and I often told my evangelical radio listeners that I would not argue with them if they could not vote for Romney because he was a Mormon. So I do understand black Christian reticence towards Romney for these reasons, among others. I simply do not understand how my black evangelical friends who so staunchly oppose same-sex so-called marriage and who stand against abortion could cast their vote for the most radically pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president in our history? Was there no moral compromise involved in voting for him? Are there no issues that could disqualify him in your eyes? And must Barack Obama be elected and then re-elected in order to make up for past injustices, as one black evangelical woman claimed? Now I'll read more of the article to you later. But it's comments like this that concern me. Someone wrote in on the Charisma News website, African-American Christians weren't the only Christians who voted for President Obama. There were Asian Christians, Hispanic Christians, white Christians, and Native American Christians. Because Mr. Brown criticized white evangelicals and mentions Harry Jackson's name are not indicators that black evangelicals are now his friends. I don't know who this person is. They just use the moniker two gospel singer two, something like that. I've been friends with black believers for decades. I don't need to prove that. The fact that you question it because I put honest questions on the table is surprising to me. The writer continues, it's so obvious he doesn't understand black culture and black people. Some people never change. And then goes on and says this, you too, Mr. Brown, like so many other evangelicals, can't get past President Obama's color. That's a lie. That is a bigoted lie. Why can't we have a conversation and ask honest questions of each other without someone making bigoted comments like that? That troubles me. Let's talk it through.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, 866-348-7884. Continuing our discussion of race, religion, and politics, I want to go right to the phones, beginning with Hugo in Detroit. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
Real quick, I just wanted to make some comments about what you said in the previous broadcast about what the Democrats are doing right in terms of like how they managed to solidify the black vote. And it's really simple, actually. What I see in terms of the political spectrum of things in terms of like how they cater to the people. The Republicans are very issue-based. A lot of things they say are based on issues and, you know, things in that regard. They say a lot of things. Whereas the Democrats more cater towards the people, and they do a lot of things. One of the things that I should say right off the bat that I'm an African-American male, and I'm 25 years old, so I come from the generation that's pretty much very pro-Obama, even though I did not vote for Obama in either election. But what I'm saying is that Democrats, or the people who genuinely vote Democrats, respond a lot more to action. One of the political ads that Barack Obama put out back in 2008 was one of the ads where he was actually going to people's houses and living a day in their shoes, so to speak, going out and seeing what they did and worked. And the Republicans don't do that. And we, as African Americans, respond more to people humbling themselves and getting involved in the community as opposed to someone saying, you know, here's what we need to be doing. We're more towards action, and that's why Obama has appealed more towards African American voters as opposed to outside of the issues.
Yeah, Hugo, I certainly, yeah, I appreciate those insights very much, and especially coming from your vantage point, that's of interest to me. Here's a question, though. Obviously, that was a good ad campaign to run, but no political leader of any stature is going to have the time or the ability to just stop what they're doing and go live in people's homes. In other words, it's a good ad. What I'm wondering about, though, is if it's actually true in terms of Democrats do this more hands-on action than Republicans, or is it just a perception? And by the way, I'm not out to defend the Republicans. That's the last thing on my agenda here. But is it true, or is it a perception? That's what I'm wondering about.
Oh, it's definitely a perception. A lot of the things that that come from these things is the fact that you have Obama had the time to do that because he was, you know, campaigning for president, you know.
Right.
But as president, if you have a person who's campaigning for president who's more than willing to do that before he's president, we have a better chance of believing that you're going to be more towards, you know, people on the lower totem pole when you are in office, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like, of course. Yeah, so Hugo, one last question for you. Did you discuss with your peers you're not voting for Obama? And if so, what was the response that you got?
Oh, boy. I told me and my mother had a very frank and long talk about this. My mother claims to not be a pro-Obama supporter, even though she's voted for him. But she claims to disagree with him on many of the issues, but she's unfortunately has drinking the Kool-Aid, and I've seen that in a lot of her actions and a lot of the rhetoric she uses in terms, it always boils down to race. I try to have a discussion with her about the issues, and it always comes back to race. And it upsets me greatly that we can't have this discussion without that topic popping up. And it's been very heated. I try to, you know, remain in some sort of Christian manner, but it's just difficult when it's your own mother and you're being accused of, you know, being a traitor to your race and things of that nature. So it really is distressing. so to speak. And I just want to thank you so much for raising this topic and taking the courage to speak on this, because it really does take courage.
Well, yeah, Hugo, I appreciate everything you've said there. And again, I'm absolutely certain that every one of us, every group, every ethnic group, every nationality, we all have blind spots, and we all have certain strongholds in our thinking that are the products of our environment and upbringing, culture, and so on, which is why we constantly have to go to the Lord through His Word to ask Him to purge us and purify us, and then talk and interact so that we can understand each other better, and at the very least, just learn to pray more for each other and to look in the mirror better and examine our own lives. So that is a challenge that must be confronted, and we will do it by God's grace, having conversations like this. So I appreciate you calling in very much, and may the Lord's blessing be on you and your mom and your family.
Thank you. Praying for you, brother. Later.
All right. Thanks so much. 866-348-7884. Vernal posted this on CharismaNews.com website, the opinion column that I wrote today, an open letter to my black evangelical friends. If the white evangelicals had over the decades shown support and empathy for the black community, would there have been so many abortions? Perhaps not. I'm absolutely not defending white evangelicals. That wasn't the purpose of my article for a second. But what I struggle with is the rest of the comment. As long as you live in the suburbs and look down your nose on black Americans, just as the rest of society does, there will always be a divide. Yeah, I live in the suburbs right now. They're black Americans, by the way, who've been neighbors and live in the suburbs with me. But I've got plenty of my friends live in the inner city. In fact, I'm broadcasting from a church in the inner city of Chicago right now, where all of my friends are involved in multiracial inner city ministry. And it's led by a white man who's married to an Indian woman. But it's the stereotyping. You cannot alienate people in life and then expect they'll be in solidarity with you on issues you consider important. You chastise black Americans as lazy and as being the 47%, then you expect them to come to our altar and support your cause. What kind of comment is that? You chastise black Americans as lazy? Who has done that? When has that sentence, syllable, thought come out of my lips or been in my mind as being the 47%? So one comment made by Mitt Romney, what's that have to do with me? Then you expect them to come to our altar and support your cause? What cause? I'm talking about black genocide through abortion. I'm talking about redefining marriage and family through gay activism. I'm talking about things that concern every single American. So it's this stereotyping. That's what's troubling to me. And now I get put in a certain box that's completely unrelated to who I am. So I want to ask again, please, someone help me and enlighten me. Why is it that unless I voted to elect and now re-elect President Obama, then it must have been for racial reasons? Why is it, if I take issue with the policies of the president, that somehow I can't get over the fact that he's black? I mean, those are such bigoted, wrong ways of thinking. And my hope is that 99.9% of you listening are shaking your head saying, Mike, we know who you are, and we don't think like that. But this way of thinking is so common. Now, has the Republican Party failed to connect properly with blacks and Hispanics in America? Yeah, no argument about that. Again, I'm not a defender of the Republican Party. And on top of that, I am not saying that there isn't racism all around. I'm trying to say, what's stopping us from really talking through issues? Let me grab another call, then I want to read some interesting Facebook comments that came in. Peter in Las Vegas, Nevada, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I need a clarification of what you mean by innocent blood, shedding of innocent blood. That sounds like a biblical term.
Yeah, it is a biblical term.
And so are you applying that to a person who has an abortion?
Yes, sir.
And are you doing it on the basis you know that child in God's eyes is innocent?
Yes, sir.
That child will grow up to be a Christian?
Didn't say that.
Well, how?
I'm not talking about the child growing up. I'm talking about the child in the womb. Yes, sir, innocent.
How do you apply that word innocent when God himself had men, women, and children slain? And they certainly seem to be the same condition of innocent especially a child in a womb of a mother. I think it's a wrong...
Well, when the Bible speaks of shedding innocent blood, what's it talking about? It's talking about the blood of children.
God ordered children who seemingly are innocent, right? He ordered them all killed.
There was war with Canaanites, and in that but hang on, are you saying that abortion is okay in some cases because there was war with the Canaanites?
No, I'm saying that, for example, President Obama one time said for sure it's above his pay grade.
All right, tell you what, Peter, I did clarify, I am speaking of shedding the blood of the unborn, and yes, in God's sight, those children have not done good or evil. Deuteronomy 1:39, that's innocent blood. They did not deserve to be killed.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing our discussion on race, religion, and politics, not for the purpose of stirring up controversy, but for the purpose of advancing understanding and exposing blind spots in one another's thinking. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I don't just talk here on the air. I listen. I reflect on conversations we have during the show. I read as much as I can in terms of posts and comments on our website and on Facebook and other social media sites. I can't read all the comments on where I publish on other websites, articles and things like that. But I do my best to listen, and I do my best to inform so that we can grow together in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. I got a Facebook post from Ranita yesterday, and she was unable to get through because she had a bad phone connection, static, which often happens with folks, especially on cell phone. I responded to her online, but I told her that I would read her comments without my own comment on the air. So here it is right now. This is what Ranita wrote. I don't identify with either political party. Voted for Obama first time because he is African-American like me. Voted this time because I felt Romney lied about his real agenda. Not voting at all would have been a slap in the face to my ancestors who died for me to have the right and privilege to vote. I feel that as God has given us free choice, so do non-Christians have that. I feel we must, as Jesus taught, love people to his kingdom, not beat them over the head with religion. My church prays daily that our government would lead with God's grace and wisdom. Everyone should know that the Congress has more say in laws and policies more than the president. However, the blatant disrespect towards President Obama is disgusting, and it was not just from the clear racist statements and pictures, but also from some Christian radio programs. Finally, please stop making government assistance a black Hispanic issue. Statistically, there are more whites on assistance and in housing projects, which were created for veterans initially, than blacks or Hispanics combined. The problem is there are handouts with no accountability. Check out Florida's new law on sobriety or no assistance. Those were comments from Ranita. I've got something from a very different angle from a black church overseer, again, just identified as such. I'll read his comments on the other side of the break. Let me go right back to the phones now. Marcus in Port Alice, New Mexico. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, like the letter that you wrote, your previous caller, actually, I didn't vote for President Obama in either election. But I did pose a question online with regard to the article that you wrote, and it's a fair question whether
Please.
Or not Black America is supporting President Obama because of race. But my question was, is it also time, in all fairness, as Christians, to shine that mirror on the conservative wing of Christianity as well and ask whether or not for years that's been the same practice? And I asked, I guess I posted a few reasons why I posted that question, and I just kind of wanted to leave that out there, kind of trying to move the discussion away from attacking you personally, because I am a fan, even though I think I disagree with you a little bit on the issue.
Oh, that's fine, and there's not a right and wrong in terms of all of the discussion. My goal is to advance understanding. My goal is to challenge people who would overlook certain grievous issues like abortion or like redefinition of marriage and just say, well, those are not as important as other issues. I do want to challenge that understanding. But let's recognize this. in terms of candidates, until Barack Obama, there was not a prominent or possibly electable black candidate that had run. When Jesse Jackson ran, it was the same time as when Pat Robertson ran. Neither of them were legitimate potential political candidates, white or black. So this was the first time that there was a vote where we had the choice of voting for a black candidate or a white candidate side by side. So, Marcus, I don't doubt that there are many Americans who despise the idea of having a black president, that they're racist and they haven't overcome that. And I don't doubt that there are many black Americans who didn't really care what the issues were. They were going to vote for a black president. So I understand there are going to be gut level, superficial reactions on both sides. And let me say that the latter reaction is far more justifiable to me. With our history being what it was, it's very significant on a historical level, on a justice issue, on a restoration level, to have a black president. So therefore, if Barack Obama was like 2 out of 10 in the eyes of voters, but he was going to be the first black president, I could see many people making him 10 out of 10 just for that. And I don't condemn that unless there was moral compromise involved in the vote. But help me understand this, Marcus, okay? I'm all for your question, 100%. That's one of the reasons for the broadcast. But help me understand this. I've been in numerous meetings with family ministry groups and righteousness groups and so on, and we'll talk about different people in leadership, and it could be a Nancy Pelosi comment. It could be something that someone is doing in the Senate. It could be something that Barack Obama was saying. It could be something that Joe Biden said. And we're discussing things or how this impacts family and life and so on. And there's never been a hint whatsoever of color involved, because that's been the last thing in anyone's mind. What I struggle with is when people raise it to me and to others as if color is involved. So I'm all for your question being raised. Where do you think it applies, though? Where do you think this issue of race on the white side is coming up? I mean, it's certainly not in my brain or heart or mind and those I associate with, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Where do you see that it is an issue in terms of white bigotry, racism on the Republican side?
I just see that a familiar quote is, Sunday morning is typically the most segregated day in America, especially between the times of, you know, I guess, depending upon your time zone, 10 a.m. and noon. Right. And I think that's one of the places we see it, especially in the church. And I think the problem is, from a Romans 12, 1 through 2 perspective, I think we get that habit not from Christ and what we see in the Bible, but I think we picked up the habits of the world. And so it's really uncomfortable nowadays to speak openly about race because there's a fear of being labeled a racist. However, when you look at behavior patterns beyond simply a segregated Sunday morning, grew up in an African-American church. I'm an African-American minister. It's worked in a good number of mixed congregations and predominantly white congregations. And the problem I'm seeing, you know, in the different cities I worked in even before I went into the ministry, is that you will have people who don't openly speak about race and ethnicity, but their choices in terms of residences and affiliations are still just as segregated as you would see out in the common society. And so the question then becomes, even if you're not openly using race in your language, how is it still affecting your decision making? And is that apparent in, you know, your choice of residence, your choice of schools, the kids that you're, you know, the choice of affiliations that your kids are making just when they're left to their own devices? Have they picked up those habits from you in subtle ways? And I see all of those things. And typically the answer is yes. And so then when you bring it into an election year, you become able to see even greater polarizations, because in social media, I work with, you know, with young people, and you can see in social media the subtle ways that it comes about.
Hey Marcus, I wanted to give you as much time to share that as possible. As you can hear the music, we're out of time. But thanks for weighing in. Thanks for giving us a grid through which we can help evaluate and look in the mirror. Appreciate it, man. God bless you. Back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are today continuing our discussion on race, religion, and politics. We had so many folks trying to get through call in yesterday. We got to as many as we could, but many were unable to get through, many unable to get on the air, even once we tried to get them on, just ran out of time. So we're continuing the discussion, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I flew in from Fort Myers, Florida, Sunday late afternoon, got home, had a busy night, and then flew to Chicago last night after the radio broadcast and had something on my heart. I put it in writing. It is an open letter to my black evangelical friends. It's posted on townhall.com, and it's posted on charismanews.com. Click on opinion. Some interesting discussion comments going on. I've been able to glance at a few of the comments, especially on the Charisma site, the Christian site. But if you get a chance, read the article and then share your thoughts. As I say at the beginning of the article, I'm not writing this letter to accuse, but rather to advance understanding. And I'm writing this as a fellow believer, as a fellow member of the body of Christ. And my goal in these broadcasts is not to prove a point, and it's not to, quote, be right. It is to advance understanding and further our dialogue. My friend, Bishop Harry Jackson, black Christian leader, wrote a few weeks ago, quote, President Obama has become a personality akin to the biblical figure Ishmael for the African-American community instead of the child of promise we had hoped for. In a nutshell, he has attempted to create a new unbiblical standard of social justice that promotes abortion, same-sex marriage, a distrust of Israel, and a diminishing of religious liberties. I received an email on my Ask Dr. Brown site from a man who said, I'm an African-American male who is an overseer at my church. I have a somewhat different view on how most of my Christian friends approach the election. He said, I believe many African-American believers compromise God's word during the election in the name of Obamacare and social programs such as food stamps, etc. He said, please hear me, all caps. Most black people do not agree with marriage being redefined. Most hate abortion. My people's lack of faith in God to provide for them voted for Obama. Because of that, they voted for Mr. Obama. We compromised the most important issues for provision that God already promised to give us if we would just believe. This is what a black elder overseer of his church has written to me. Do you think there's truth to this? 866-34-TRUTH. The last call that came in yesterday was a gentleman named Michael who said that he is a black Christian, was in the voting booth trembling. And he said that as he voted, he knew he couldn't agree with Mr. Obama on abortion, and he knew he couldn't agree with him on same-sex so-called marriage. And these were grievous things to him. Yet he said candidly, he said, I have to admit, I ended up voting for him simply because he was black. Now, were there white evangelicals who didn't agree with Mitt Romney and who said he's a Mormon, I can't vote for him, but because they did not want to have a black man in the White House, voted for Mitt Romney? Did that happen? To whatever extent these things took place, that's wrong, that's evil, that's destructive, and that is an idolatry of sorts that we cannot allow to be there in the body. For those who missed any of the discussion who don't know me, I am not a champion of the Republican Party, and I am the first to talk about failings in American history, and I don't like the term that, you know, we have been a Christian nation through our history. If that was the case, we wouldn't have had slavery and all of the other horrors that we had over the years, even though we do have many Christian foundations. So we're going to continue to discuss things. The only thing that will not be allowed is attacks on people and individuals. But we will talk honestly, candidly. Back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, straight to the phones. Edward in Charlotte. All right, we lost Edward in Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's go to John in Winston-Salem. We lost John in Winston-Salem. That means phone lines have just opened up. Susan in Dallas, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to add my little opinion here and get one from you. I also had a problem with the total slaughter that's recorded in the Old Testament. And I was shown a scripture in the New Testament that really kind of straightened my thinking out. It's where it says if one spouse is a believer, then the other spouse is sanctified, else your children would be unclean. At first, that was very difficult for me to swallow, but it is saying that if one of the spouses that come together and create a child, that child is clean. But if neither one of them are believers, then the child is unclean. So it sort of explains to me that the unbelievers, if they choose to go out into sin, they get pregnant, they get abortions, it's on a different scale in God's eyes than if even one of the married couple is a believer.
Well, yeah, let me just say this, Susan. You're referring to a discussion I had in the last half hour about abortion, and someone brought up the slaughter of the Canaanites. Clean and unclean simply is talking about a state of potentially being set aside to the Lord. It's not talking about the intrinsic value of the child or individual. Certainly, if a believing couple had an abortion, they would have more culpability because of their understanding, and a non-believing couple is still culpable but would have less culpability because of lack of understanding. But we just have to remember that every child is knit and formed in the womb by the Lord, and that it's a universal statement about hurting any of these little ones in Matthew, the 18th chapter, in terms of how the Lord deals with that. So yes, it is true that children of believers are set apart to the Lord, even if one of the people is one of the members of the couple, the husband's a believer and the wife's not, or vice versa. But it doesn't mean that the child themselves, a child in the womb of an unsaved couple is unclean. God would not look at it like that. So I appreciate the call. That is a discussion we can have another day, but I want to just keep the political race religion focus that we started with. But again, worthy subject to discuss further. Triel in Atlanta, thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. If a guy came to you for an executive position and that guy was supposed to come up with a plan and he never came up with a plan at all, and even a little bit of the plan that he gave did not add up, at what point in time do we say we're not gonna hire this guy? Or what happens if the guy continues to lie over and over again and keeps getting busted in it? At what point in time are we just going to say, no, I'm not going to hire this guy? Now, I am a Republican, okay, and I voted Republican on a number of occasions. This time I voted for Barack because Barack is the only person who had a plan. And
You know what's so funny, though, when you were mentioning that? I thought you were talking about Obama not having a plan, because he was criticized. Yeah, it's so funny that you were talking about Romney, because I thought you were talking about Obama and about being caught in lie after lie.
Obama has not only put his plan out there, but he's also written it in a book. He's done everything possible to show that there was a plan out there.
Hang on.
No one else ever, Romney showed nothing.
Well, actually, it's fascinating, because Mitt Romney put out a plan months and months and months ago, and Mr. Obama didn't put out a plan until 2 weeks before the election, and then even CNN, as liberal as they are, criticized him for the same old plan, and it was mainly a book with pictures of him. So, I mean, I find that interesting. But here, I have no issue, though, if you felt he had a better plan than Romney, I mean, that's almost immaterial to me. Just help me to understand one thing, okay? Because I don't even want to. You could be 100. I differ with the point you made.
It's important because what's happened is that what you're saying is kind of a racist statement, as if the only reason why blacks voted for Barack Obama was because of the color of his skin, and it was not so. He had a better plan than Mitt Romney.
All right, but no, it's not a racist statement to
and
ask
a question.
And
they both wanted abortion, not just one. Then in the end, they both start calling for abortion.
What are you talking about?
Mitt Romney starts saying that if it's for to save the life of the mother, that some of the other or for
rape
or whatever, then it was okay.
All right, but that's less than 1% of abortions. Whereas, but Triel, to say it's racist, 95% of black Americans voted for Barack Obama.
Not because he was black, though. Not
how many did?
Because,
but I've had many callers tell. I've had
voted for him for that reason.
Right, but Triel, I'm not saying you voted for him for that reason. I never made that statement. All I'm saying is I've had people. The last caller yesterday say that's why he voted for him because he was black. I've had people call in previous months. I've had people send me emails.
But that doesn't mean the millions and millions and millions of black voters that he got. And so that's a racist statement for me to say.
But I didn't make
that
statement. But Triel.
Triel,
I didn't make that statement.
Sure,
I said,
you're making it over and over and over again. If you go back
all right,
and play,
Triel, tell you what, are we gonna have a conversation or not?
Go ahead.
I asked a question. How many compromised moral convictions and voted because he was black? I asked the question a few minutes ago. How many whites violated their convictions and voted for Romney because they didn't want a black person? I'm asking questions, and I hear
okay,
you are calling
ahead.
Me racist for asking a question. You know why? Because you hate
not
Jews.
Calling you racist.
No,
I'm not,
Triel.
No, no,
Triel,
no,
you hate Jews.
You
hate
not
Jews.
Racist. You are not racist. And don't even think about it, because like, I have half Jew.
All right, I'm messing with you and making that statement.
I'm
trying to make a point.
Okay.
When you say I'm making a racist comment, I might as well come back and say you're making an anti-Semitic comment. Okay, it's bogus. That's my problem. I can't even have a conversation without someone saying it's racist. That's
no,
racist.
I'm saying all I'm saying is that the comment you make to African Americans is a racist comment to think that or to say that the only reason why blacks are voting.
But I never said that. I never said that.
The only reason we vote for him because he's black.
Trill, I never said that.
Go back and listen to yourself.
All right, tell you what. Here's what we're going to do, all right? I will make a $100,000 donation. I don't have it, but I will get it. A $100,000 donation to the church of your choice, to the ministry, as long as they're born-again Christians. If you can document where I said the only reason black Americans voted for Barack Obama was because of his skin color. And I would like you to make a $100 donation to one of our missionaries in India, if I didn't make that statement. All right? I appreciate the call, sir, but you cannot read things into people's words and hear things that are not being said. That is really where we hurt ourselves. That's why I'm having this conversation. I never once said what you're accusing me of saying, and I never thought it. I never thought it in my entire lifetime, and I never thought it in the last 4 years. All right. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Aurora, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hey, look, just a little bit about that that election. I just got a couple things to say. You don't have to necessarily chime in, but here's the situation. You know, as far as the Republicans these days and the Democrats, I think both men are compromised, no doubt. You know, President Barack truly has two big strikes against him from my vantage point as a Christian, and that is obviously he supports gay marriage and also abortion. You know, I think it's a huge compromise. You know, it's a huge compromise when you look at it through the paradigm eyes of God. I think it's just huge. Whereas on the other hand, you got Mitt Romney now. Basically didn't have the leg to stand on. simply because of his Mormonism. It just didn't make any sense. You know, looking at it from my vantage point as a born again Christian. Now, here's the dilemma. Here's what's so funny to me. Since when do we, as Christians, cross that line to fornicate with somebody that outwardly confesses himself as a Mormon? When do we jump on that bandwagon and say, okay, well, I'd rather have him in there instead of a man that has two strikes against them that is at least a confessing Christian? Now, if you look at it from that vantage point, yeah, that might be a hard call, but nonetheless.
Yeah, hey Jim, just got to jump in because we got a break. Quick response. One would be better to have someone that we know is not a Christian, but that's not part of his platform, than someone who professes to be a Christian and denies it by acts and deeds. Anyway, fair question.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, to repeat, in writing, on the air, many different ways, I have criticized my white evangelical friends and colleague for just aligning ourselves constantly with the Republican Party and putting our trust in the political system to bring about the moral and social change that we desire. And then I've asked my black evangelical friends, here's what I have in writing. It's an article out today, charismanews.com, in the opinion column, or townhall.com. I ask this question to my black Christian friends. Are you guilty on any level of blind allegiance to the Democratic Party? And on election day, did any of you compromise your convictions out of racial solidarity? Asking simple questions, just as I've challenged my white evangelical friends. And here, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not looking at color or ethnicity. I'm looking at truth. And I'm asking hard questions on all sides. The one thing that I won't tolerate is someone calling the questions racist. Because there's nothing racist about the questions. They're truth content questions, and they're questions we have to ask ourselves as followers of Jesus as we look in the mirror and say, Lord, show me blind spots in my heart, in my life. That's why I constantly listen and interact and do my best to learn and grow in Jesus and as a member of the body. Henry in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Henry.
Oh, yeah, hi. I didn't hear my name. I'm like in my 70s, and, you know, I've voted Democrat basically mostly all my life. And at one time when I was young, maybe it was all because that was what black folks do. You know, I'm Afro-American.
Mm-hmm.
But as I matured and learned about the different parties, I see it in a different way. And I think if we look back and look at the Clinton administration, you will see that he got the majority of black votes.
Yes, he did.
And one of the reasons Republicans have a problem of trying to reach out to people of color is that the fact that conservatism reeks of secession from the Union, and Confederate states seem to be the states who push this, and that there's still racism and discrimination in the United States that affects people daily in their life, the way they work, where they go. In contact with law enforcement agencies or whatever it might be. And as Afro-Americans and people of color see that, they might pick the lesser of two evils. They say, okay, I don't believe in gay this, and I don't believe in abortion, which I don't believe in any of those things. But then if we go back to the scriptures, it says that we're not allowed to judge. And I really think the church has kind of got off the beaten path of where they should be, because we're trying to legislate morality to some extent. And I don't think that God intended for us to do that. I mean, would the first century church went up to Caesar and said, look, all these orgies you're having and all this stuff you're having, you're going to have to stop that. Mm-hmm. Or we're not going to be partakers. And I think we should be in the world, but not of it. But when we have to do what we have to do about voting and everything, I think the church is kind of misdirected with this blue state, red state thing. It's only one race, and that's the human race.
Yeah.
It's only one country, that's America. And we really need to get away from that. And it starts on Sunday. When I go to my church, which has a few people of other colors in there, you know, whether white or Hispanic or what, it's still, we're living separate lives. You know, we're one church under God, yet it's all black church over here and all white church over here. And somebody's got a club and they say, we can't let these people in because they don't make enough money or whatever.
Yeah.
We really are destroying ourselves with this. Who said what?
And Henry, I'm just jumping in, only to be fair to some other callers as well. But I appreciate what you're saying and the spirit in which you say it. And a couple little things I'd interact with, you know, the legislating morality, it all depends on what you mean by that, because obviously we have to stand for justice. But two things I want to say
stand for justice. I really do. I believe we should.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. I just want to make two real quick comments, though. One is, when you point out on the ground how lives are lived and where racism and discrimination is still seen and inequality, that's a major point. I understand it's a very major point. And because I didn't grow up in your skin, in your background, I can appreciate it, but not to the full weight. So that's important. The other thing is, as I've been saying for days now, really for weeks, we've got to put our effort into being the people of God. And as the people of God, bring about change, as opposed to looking to either party or elected officials to do it. Thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. Kevin in Palm Metro, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You're very welcome.
This is a pretty timely subject for me. I want to start by prefacing a couple of things. I'm African-American. I was a firefighter. I was a Navy man, and I retired from the federal government. And the reason I said that is because I'm talking to you on a Christian radio station that is openly evangelical or conservative evangelical. And I had to preface my conversation the last time I called the station, because if I didn't come across as a patriot or I had an opposing view to the stated view of the station, my call would not have gotten through.
No, actually, Kelvin, you would have been put to the top of the list on my program. If you said I disagree with you categorically, this, or I think this, I would have put you at the top of the list, actually.
Oh, I don't doubt that about your program. I just mean the station that broadcasts your program. When I've called in for other...
We're in so many different locations. I don't know exactly which station, but tell you what, we've got about a minute and a half, so please make your comment. I won't interrupt you. Just go for it, all right?
I think that part of the problem is there's never been true reconciliation. And what I mean by that is, there's so much division in the world right now. Blacks still have the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow, et cetera, et cetera. We still have black churches on one corner, white churches on the other corner. And when we interact, and I go to a predominantly white church right now because I love the teaching.
Yeah.
But even in that environment, there is little, if any, real discussion other than surface discussion. And it's something that I think we've got to get past. It's almost like me trying to go to evangelize some third world country and never really had a relationship established with them or don't know anything at all about the culture. So then the first thing I say is going to be taken as an offense.
Yeah, so Kelvin, let me jump in and say this, all right, because I'm out of time. But my next discussion that I'm going to have on this subject is, what can we do to further racial harmony, racial reconciliation, and understanding within the church? Obviously, it exists on some level, but it does not exist sufficiently. Next time I bring this subject up, that's where we are going with it. All right, friends, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. Logos 5 software has now launched, the most amazing Bible software program you can imagine. And friends, we have a special arrangement with Logos where you get 15% off on all base packages, and on every order placed with them, 15% is set to us. Awesome way for you to do holiday shopping in advance. So go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore to find out more about Logos software. My bottom line today, we will move forward in Jesus as we listen to each other, as we learn from each other, as we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, make me part of the solution, not the problem.